Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, we have comedian April Richardson. I'm absolutely thrilled to have April on the show. She's one of my favorite comedians, and she's coming to Salt Lake City this weekend. So we had to talk to her and find out a little bit about this tour and kind of some of the things that she's been up to. I recently got to see April at Beta Test. They do it at the Nerd Melt Showroom out in Los Angeles. It's an awesome show that's put on by Chris Hardwick, where he gives comics about 20 minutes to come in and workshop new material. It's always a fun show to go to, and that was the first time I'd ever got to see April live, and we kind of talk about that here. But yeah, right now she is on tour, following alongside Morrissey. Absolutely awesome concept, and I talked to her a little bit about how that concept kind of came about, and her fandom with Morrissey, and the first time she got to meet him. Really, really funny story. I also kind of divulged a little bit about how many times I have screwed up trying to talk to somebody that's been a hero. So, but it was a great time talking to April. She's currently driving from Omaha to Denver. It's quite the long stretch there. And so while she's on the road, we decided, what the hell, let's record a podcast episode and get things going and let people know a little bit more about this upcoming show. Like I said, April's coming to town here in Salt Lake City this Sunday at Club 50 West. If you're not familiar with that, it's the big Broadway Media Tower there on 300 South or Broadway. And yeah, it's just the very first level there. It's an awesome club. You're definitely going to want to go to this show. So if you've never had a chance to see April, she's been on Chelsea lately. You've seen her plenty of times on At Midnight, I'm sure. And yeah, you're definitely going to want to go to this show and see her live. We just barely got back from San Diego Comic-Con, and man, that was a hell of a time. So I didn't really know what to expect going into it. This is our first time going down to San Diego for Comic-Con, and I could not say better things about everybody that puts that show together. Everybody there was just so incredibly gracious and so nice, making sure that we knew, you know, what was going on, where the hell we were going. When we recorded the live episode of the show, everybody there in the podcast room at the Neil Morgan Auditorium there at the San Diego Public Library, it was a newer addition to everything with Comic-Con. Everybody there was just absolutely wonderful to us. We'll get that episode posted this next week here. Kind of hear everything that we chatted about during that. It was a lot of fun to be able to meet some new fans of the show and kind of get to know everybody there at San Diego, and to get to know everybody kind of behind the scenes that we've been emailing back and forth with for a couple months now, trying to get everything figured out. But it was just an absolutely amazing time from the time we arrived. I was sad to leave. I've never really just felt kind of heartbroken in a way over something just, you know, as simple as Comic-Con. But, I mean, it was just such an amazing experience. One of the nights there, we got to go see the Meltdown show that is hosted by Jonah Ray and Camille Nanjiani. And it was an absolutely incredible time there at the American Comedy Company in San Diego. Such great guests. Steve Yeun from The Walking Dead dropped by. Pete Holmes was on the show. Thomas Middleditch, Natasha Leggero. It was such an incredible show. I'm so thrilled that we had the opportunity to check that out while we were there. And then also Conan kind of took over San Diego the entire time. And I mean, everywhere you went, there was Conan this, Conan that. All the metro lines had something Conan posted on them. The buildings had big Conan billboards up on them. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And we got to go to the Conan Bingo. It was an exclusive little bingo hall that Conan put together. And it was I don't even know how to describe it. It was just one insane, crazy party for 2.5 hours of just crazy bingo and open bar. That tells you enough right there, because if you're going to have just a crazy bingo night, an open bar is required, I think. And then, I mean, they were just bringing us free food through the night, free desserts. It was just absolutely an insane experience. And I'm thrilled to know Conan's coming back next year so that we can be part of that again, because, yeah, it was... So I know, as Austin put it was the highlight of his trip. So it was an absolutely amazing time. Thank you to everybody that did come out to see our show there. And there wasn't very many, because it was our first show there. We were getting to know everybody, but... The handful of you that were there, thank you for coming out and making our first experience, you know, absolutely incredible and such a fun time. So unlike I said, we will have that episode posted next week. It's going to be a little bit of a strange episode. We realized after the show that somehow it had stopped recording about 15 minutes in. So we're trying to see if there's any way that we can revive any bit of the lost footage at all to be able to release that. If not, Austin and I will do kind of just a recap of everything in San Diego. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but we'll definitely be going through that. Speaking of Comic-Con, as some of you probably saw this last week, I was recently announced as one of Salt Lake Comic-Con's special guests this coming year. It's quite an honor to actually be announced as a guest. I've always been a panelist for the last Comic-Con here in Salt Lake, as well as both FanX experiences. And so it's awesome to be able to be announced as a special guest in your hometown, and be able to see, you know, fans that you know, give you an outpouring of support. I was a little nervous to see how it would be received, and you know, how people would accept me being announced as an official guest this year. And again, it was overwhelming to see how, you know, the likes, the comments that things were getting on Facebook, all of the retweets and favorites on Twitter. So thank you. I mean, it means a lot to really kind of feel that love being announced as a guest here in Salt Lake. And lastly, still along the Comic-Con vein, we're right now kind of working towards to see if we are going to be attending New York Comic-Con in October. We'll keep you updated on that. Right now, it's something that, you know, is definitely on the board. We definitely want to make it out there and do a live show as well. So I've never had a chance to really get to explore New York. Back in the day when I was kind of doing some stuff in music, I got to go through New York a few times, but you can only experience things so much through a van window. So I'm excited for the opportunity that we may be getting to go to New York, and we'll keep you updated. So the best thing to do, follow us on Twitter and Facebook to, you know, stay updated on that. So I will stop my rambling now, and we will get to this episode with April Richardson. Again, absolute pleasure to speak with April. Make sure that you get out and see her this weekend if you're in Salt Lake City. If you're not in Salt Lake, make sure that you hop on her website, find out, you know, when she's coming to a town near you. If for some reason you can't find her website, just look up Morrissey's website, because, like I said, her tour coincides. It's the coolest thing. But we'll have all the links to her website, to her social media links, on the website, so you'll be able to find everything there at onthemicpodcast.com. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter at onthemicpodcast. Make sure you're following me on Twitter as well at Tim Drake. You can see on there as well a lot of the updates. We were kind of social media whores the entire time we were in San Diego, and had a good time getting pictures out there and showing everybody what was going on. So make sure you get on there, check everything out. Enjoy this episode with April Richardson, and I'll see you guys next week. I'm about to go see Death Cab for Cutie right now, so yeah, enjoy this episode. How's the drive been going so far?
It's great. I mean, it's fine. I have yet to have a night off, which is kind of dumb. So tomorrow will be my first night off. Like, I thought, oh, it's not a big deal to drive like 6 hours a day and then either do a show or see a show. But it's 0 days on. I'm like, that's fun and fine. And now tonight's the first night where I'm like really dragging ass. Like, I'm seeing Morrissey tonight. And normally where I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait, I'm kind of like, oh my God, I gotta go. Yeah.
I know the feeling. I'm seeing Death Cab tonight. And I'm like, I've seen them so many times. I don't know if I want to go tonight, but my wife's never seen them, so we have to go. We have no choice.
That's funny. Wait, where are they playing tonight?
They're out here in Salt Lake at the, we do a thing out here called the Twilight Concert Series, where once a week they bring through usually a pretty great lineup of high-profile bands, and tickets are $5. Yeah, so it was like,
that's
to see
crazy.
Death Cab for $5, I kind of couldn't pass that up.
Yeah, they just played the Hollywood Bowl, and funnily enough, my ex-boyfriend, his best friend is Ben Gibbard, because he used to manage Death Cab, like, back in the day, and he used to live behind Aaron, so they, like, hung out all the time. This is back when he was married to Julie. But yeah, so she went to see him in the Hollywood Bowl a few days ago.
Yeah, that's great. I think I saw Jonah Ray actually post a picture of one of the opening bands, and I was like, no idea who that is, so I guess I'm in for a treat. So now, how long have you been out on this tour? I know you've been doing the Fun Comfortable tour with Chris Hardwick, and then this is your own tour that you've been doing. Is that right?
Yeah, because this is a month where Hardwick. I'm still on tour with Chris, like until the end of the year, but because of his schedule and his heavy job, it's kind of sporadic. So he had no dates in July. So I just said, hey, dude, since you don't have any dates and Morrissey is on tour, like, I'm just going to go do this. So I've been gone since the 28th, June 28th, I think, or 27th or 28th is when I saw Morrissey in Akron, and then it's been on since then. I had to fly back, actually, just to do a couple of shows at Comic-Con. Like, I flew back to open for Chris at Comic-Con, but then the very next day, I flew right back out to continue this Morrissey tour, so...
Yeah,
the entire month of July.
I couldn't believe your schedule when we were trying to coordinate something for Comic-Con. I was like, that is a hell of a schedule to have to be maintaining, bouncing almost coast to coast.
I mean, I was literally at Comic-Con for 12 hours, like, if that. So I just did my shows and then had to drive right back to LA like that night.
So it's grueling, but completely worth it, right?
It's totally worth it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I am really tired, but I am having a blast. So, I mean, after, just when I get home, I'll just sleep for the entire month of August.
That's how I felt just the week coming back from Comic-Con, because it was my first San Diego Comic-Con, and having to try to prepare a show and figure out how in the hell that entire thing works. I felt like this entire week has just been trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I was only there for, like, a day, and I was like, oh my god, like, this is nuts. I mean, it was like the streets of Calcutta, but with dudes dressed up like Superman instead of cows roaming the streets. It was nuts.
I thought it was funny how many people would ask me going to it. They're like, so what are you going to dress up as? And I'm like, I'm going as a professional. I can't really dress up as Superman.
I mean, you say that, but like, so many people were dressed up though.
Yeah, and that's very true. So now, how much of it did you really get to see being there for such a limited time?
Not much, because I got there Thursday night, and then I did a set. I opened for the Suicide Girl burlesque thing, so I did that Thursday night. And I mean, I really, truly got in at like 10 p.m. Like, I had to drive from L.A., do that show, then I just went to sleep, woke up, did a few laps. I did get to take a few laps around like the convention center, because I didn't even really, Chris's schedule was unbelievably insane. I mean, he hosted basically every panel.
Yeah.
I would text him and be like, hey, do you want that long 20 coffee? And he would just be like, oh, I can't do anything at all. Like, I took a couple laps around the convention center, walked around like the general area, and I just people watched. It was really great. And then I had to be at the venue to host his show and open. And he was so busy that he, for real, like, pulled up to the venue, walked out of his car, and, like, walked on stage.
So, I was just listening to the episode that they did of the first Nerdist podcast there, and he was late to that as well, because he was booking it from Hall H all the way over to the Balboa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that, I think that weekend is probably the busiest weekend of his entire life, but he's already a busy dude, so I can't imagine.
So, yeah, I completely envy him. I would give just about anything to be that busy and hang out with Harrison Ford, so... Oh, that's sad. That's one of those don't meet your heroes, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of is.
So I felt that at one point with Dan Harmon, and it must have just been an off night, because then I met Dan like a month later, and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's fucking great, but he completely threw me for a loop the first time, but I think he just had too much to drink that night.
That sounds about right.
So now, how did you come up with the concept for this tour when Jordan, that kind of helped book everything out here in Salt Lake for your show here, he explained to me that the concept was to follow Morrissey around. So how did you decide to do that?
That was really, I mean, I do that anyway. Like, I have done that since I was a teenager. So, yeah, I mean, I just, Yeah, when I realized that I had the entire month of July with nothing to do and nowhere to go, because again, I'm usually out of town on weekends with Chris, because I didn't have any now, I was like, I just for real sat down on my living room floor, put down a map, and put down a calendar, and I like wrote down off the date Morris was playing and in which city he was playing. And then I just figured out, like, okay, well, to get from this show to this show, I gotta drive through these cities. So I just called, I just either called or emailed Comics. I got help from friends. Like, I got contact from other comedian friends of mine. But, I just really, truly cold called or emailed people and was like, hey, I'm going to be in your city on this date. Like, can I do a show there? And that's pretty much how it happened.
Now, does Morrissey know that you're kind of following his tour and doing stand-up shows at the same time?
Yes. He does, actually, because, well, the first couple of dates, well, because I made my tour poster also to look just like the cover of Louder Than Bomb, like, as a goof, and to call it Louder Than Bombing, because I'm like, come on, that's perfect, how could I not? So, I made those, and I printed out a bunch of them, like, I made a bunch of color printouts and keep those, and I'm front row at every show, I make sure of that, so the first couple of shows on this tour, well, to be honest, like, this sounds so weird, and like, I've already met him a bunch. Like, I've met him, like, 5 or 6 times. You know, I'm not saying he'd be able to pick me out of a lineup, but, like, I'm not a total stranger, I guess. That sounds weird and stalky, but I think he has a vague passing familiarity with my face, you know what I'm saying? Considering he has seen it for the past 20 straight years. So, I printed those out, and I handed it. He came to take, like, notes from me first couple of shows, and I printed them out and, like, wrote a joke. Like, I wrote a note at the bottom that I was like, hey, dude, if you get bored on any of your nights off and you want to come to one of my shows, I'll put you on the guest list. No problem. And, like, as a goof, I gave it to him. But then, like, a week ago, a friend of mine that I used to work with at MTV texted me and was like, hey, you know my friend, his tour manager. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh yeah, my friend's the tour manager, I'll give him your number. And so that guy texted me. And then so after a couple of shows ago, I talked to his tour manager, and I was like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm touring alongside you guys. Like, that's my gimmick, because I'm doing stand-up in between these shows. And he was really cool and was really like, send me some of your stuff, and I'll pass it on to him. And so I sent him a clip of me doing a bit about him, like telling a story about a time I went to see Morrissey and I almost got murdered. And I guess he said it, like, again, I'm not delusional. I can't tell you definitively if he watched it or whatever. But the next night, I was on the guest list at the show, and they let me go in and be like front row before anybody else. So I'm hoping that means he saw it and thought it was funny.
I can't tell you. That's got to be a hell of a feeling where it's somebody that, I mean, you've idolized most of your life, I would assume even through the Smiths and everything, to finally...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and to finally have him kind of, you know, follow, or at least be able to see some of your career.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that's the case. I mean, who knows? Again, maybe because the tour manager is being nice. I don't know, but I'm hoping, considering Morrissey definitely has a reputation of, like, nothing happens without his permission. I would assume they can't just put, like, randos on the guest list without clearing it through him. So I'm going to take that as a seal of approval from him. Whether or not that's true, I don't know for certain, but I'm going to keep it that way.
So I would chalk that up as a win that he definitely knew who you were and recognized your comedy.
Yeah. I'm going to say he's my number one fan. He loves my comedy. He's definitely approving of me, yeah.
You can just put that on your posters now. Just on each one of your posters, just Morrissey approved.
Totally. 2 thumbs up. Even Patrick Morrissey.
What was it like the first time that you got a chance to meet him? So I know I've made a fool out of myself with plenty of people that have been, you know, that hero of mine that it was like, I'm finally meeting them, and then I did something stupid. What was it like when you finally had that chance to meet him?
Oh, definitely. It was like my early 20s. Because I've been following him. I've been going to shows. It was my first Morrissey show when I was 17. And I had been following him, and like, I'd gotten on stage a few times to hug him and all that kind of bullshit. station contest. I won this stupid radio station contest in Atlanta when I was like 21 or 22 or something. And, oh yeah, I completely broke down. Like, I wept. I wept like a child. Like, it was very embarrassing. So it was definitely embarrassing. But in the time, I mean, I'd like to think that in the time since then that I've, like, after that, I ran into him in actual places, like in restaurants and bars in Los Angeles, so it was a bit less regimented. So I would like to think in those times I came off as cool, because I wasn't crying in his face. So maybe since that time, I have been seen as less crazy, but, oh yeah, the first time, he's the old, and I've met a lot of my heroes. Like, I've been very lucky to meet a lot of people that I admire, and he's the one dude, him and Michael Stipe, those are my top two dudes, and those are the two dudes when I met them that I cried uncontrollably.
See, I think that's how if I ever met Paul McCartney, I had made a list at one point when I was in high school of which bodily function I'd have if I had met certain heroes. And I decided if I ever met Paul McCartney, I'd probably pee my pants, cry, and then randomly throw up on him all at the same time.
Right. Well, that's I've actually only heard that guy is, like, the nicest dude. Like, that he's the chillest. Because, you know, with Morrissey, as much as I love him and have forever, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I know he could be a squirrel. I know that there's an additional thing with meeting him is there's a chance he might not be cool to you. So there was that level of, like, you know, in the back of my mind, just being like, please don't be mean to me, please don't be mean to me. But he's only ever been, like, really nice to me. So I've been very lucky. But I've heard nothing but good things about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, he when he was in Salt Lake last year, my entire family was going to the show, and my parents and my sister were standing in line, waiting for everybody. We had seats all together, and one of his people came out and gave them front row seats, just right in the center of the stage. And it was just like, yeah, Paul just wanted to make your night. And then my parents, for the rest of the show, continued to send pictures to my brothers and I sitting up at the very top nosebleed seats, so.
Oh, well, how nice of them.
Yeah, it was very kind of them. But yeah, it definitely spoke to how gracious of a artist he is to be able to, you know, give back to his fans like that.
Yeah, he's supposedly a really cool dude.
So I can say one of my biggest fans, or biggest heroes, not fans, barely knows who the hell I am, was always Chris Hardwick. And I had realized, like, a year ago, the first three times I had met Chris, I had never once told him my name. And every time I'd be like, he's always nice and, you know, seems like he remembers. And then I was like, he has no clue who I am. I've never told him my name. And I realized that I was the biggest idiot in the entire world with that.
Aww. No, Chris, I mean, he's wonderful. He's truly one of my dearest friends and really, really one of the nicest, most genuine people I've ever met. Like, he's a really awesome dude.
Oh, and he definitely is. I've always, every time I've gone to Nerd Melt or anything, he's always just been so gracious to talk with us afterwards. And that's I doubt you remember, because it was very much in passing. But at the beta test back in February that you did, we briefly had our paths crossed then.
Wait a minute, so you were... And were you just in L.A. on vacation or something?
I actually had a short film that was screening at the Directors Guild the following night. And we were like, well, let's see what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, that's
rad. Yeah, so we ended up stopping by and hitting up the show there. And, it was an absolutely amazing show. So, and it was the first time I'd actually seen you live. I'd seen a lot of your comedy over the years through Chelsea Lately and, you know, anytime you'd been on At Midnight. And I was like, oh, April's on the show. This is awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, that beta test is a rad show to do, but it is always last minute because it's always, like, Chris called me, like, an hour before and was like, hey, do you want to be on it tonight?
That's crazy. I'd always wonder, because I know they don't announce the lineup until, like, right beforehand. So, but that was a fun show.
It's whoever is in town and whoever has something to work out, like, it really is just him calling a friend, going, hey, you want to do it tonight? And then whoever says yes, that's pretty much the lineup.
That's awesome, because, yeah, it was a great show. I know you were on that, TJ was on that, and it's crazy to see. Yeah. It's crazy to see how fast everybody too works that material, because I know Chris wants it to be something that is that it's fresh material that you're completely working on. And it was crazy because I actually saw TJ again 2 weeks later, and his main bit that he had done that night, he had shortened by, it felt like 10 minutes. And right, it was just incredible.
Yeah, it was another crazy thing is that Lorraine Newman was at that show that night.
Yeah, and she was actually sitting right in front of me, kind of diagonal. And I was like, she looks so familiar to me, and I can't figure out where. And then I saw that she tweeted to Chris and was just like, hey, you know, it was a fun show last night. And I looked at my producing partner who was out there with me, and I was like, dude, Lorraine Newman was that lady sitting, because she's wearing a late night jacket as well. And I was like, I know she's important. I know her from somewhere. And I sort of kicking myself afterwards.
I had no idea. But then I was kind of glad because it would have made me nervous. But yeah, I had no idea either. And then she tweeted me after the show, like, hey, good job. I was like, oh my God, you were there. Like, in a way, yeah, I was like kind of glad because if I'd have known that to begin with, I probably would have been really nervous. Like, I'll try to impress her.
Yeah, that was absolutely crazy to just, she was just there as a fan, just hanging out and eating chai oatmeal cookies. So now I do have to say, I don't know if this is still part of your set. You did have a joke in there, at least at that night you did, about 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can personally talk about it forever, but I kind of have stopped talking about it a little bit only because that's not, I mean, I'll talk about it more when the second movie comes out.
Yeah.
But I feel like the shelf life, I don't know, maybe I'll bring it back. Maybe I will talk about it Salt Lake, but I just talked about it for the few months the movie was in the theater because it just was like when people were seeing it.
Yeah. And I actually had to screen that when we got back from LA. And I'm screening through it and I'm just like, God, this movie's terrible. And as soon as you'd put it, the sex genes came to play. That movie just became it became a comedy to me for the rest of the movie because all of a sudden those jeans just reappeared every time and I would just die laughing because of that joke that you had done.
Yes, because it's like, why is that happening? Why? Why is that guy changing into jeans every time he's getting ready to bang? It's the most insane thing to me.
Yeah, I never would have probably even noticed it had it not been for that bit of at Beta Fest.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, I went to see it, but shit, that's all I know. It's like the first scene, because again, it takes, I mean, the whole thing is supposed to be about sex, and I just remember how long it took them to finally get to a sex scene. So I'm like, okay. And then when it happened, I turned to Chip and was like, God, I just put on jeans? Like, I couldn't stop laughing at it.
Yeah, it became too funny, and I had to show it to my wife afterwards. And she was just like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like,
it's
I know.
So weird. It's so weird.
So before we let you go here, April, I do have to talk to you about Go Bayside, because it has got to be the greatest idea for a podcast. Like when I came across it, I was like, I need to quit podcasting now because that's amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, I'm like sad that I'm done, but it was fun while it lasted.
How did you come up with the idea to do that?
Honestly, it was just a complete accident, because, like, I just watched Saved by the Bell all the time by myself. Like, I would just watch it again in my free time, and then I would post, like, my own personal Facebook is, like, I only add real-life friends on it, so it's only people I know well. So I would be watching, I mean, I'm a very lonely single lady, so I spend a lot of time in my apartment, and I'd be like, rewatching Saved by the Bell, and I would be posting stuff on my Facebook. Like, I'd be like, you guys, I'm watching the episode where Screech does this, and da-da-da, and like, I would just be posting these rants. Just be like, I still can't believe how much this is ridiculous, whatever. And I was doing that, and then my friend Josh was like, you should start a podcast, and I was like, no. I was like, no way. That's, who would listen to this? No one would listen to this. And then I kind of was like, my ex-boyfriend Andy does Probably Science. He does that podcast. So I called him and I was like, hey, what do you need to do to do a podcast? He's like, I don't know, buy some mics. I mean, that's pretty much it. So I was like, okay. So I just bought a couple microphones and then I tried to Howard Kramer, who is my friend. I called him and was like, hey, will you come over and just help me figure this out? Like, I'm going to record a podcast. I don't really know the format yet. Will you just come watch Save and Develop me? And thankfully, he was gracious enough to do it. And so that's kind of what helped me figure out how to do it. Because at first, I think we did it twice. Because I think at first I thought we were going to do it like Mystery Science Theater style. Like, that was the plan at first, was to watch it in real time. Like, watch it and comment on it in real time. But Howard had never seen Saved by the Bell before. So what? When we did the first... Yeah, he had just never... I mean, he's a Southerner, and so it was not a part of, like... It wasn't in the ether like it was for people my age. So it didn't work out. The first go-around... He was really quiet because he was, like, trying to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't really rip on it because he's like, I don't know what's going on. But then that's what made me think, oh, yeah, we can't do it this way. We got to watch it first and then, like, write it down and talk about it. So he was thankfully patient enough to, like, help me figure out how to do it. And then that was it. I mean, after that, I was like, oh, okay, well, this has to be the format.
So, but it's awesome that you, I mean, you made it through every single episode, right?
Every single episode, I have not done the movies. I am not 100% if I'm going to do them because I did record one. I recorded Hawaiian style. I went one of the times I went home to Atlanta to visit my parents. I went to Millie, my best friend in the whole world, who is also like the funniest person. I was like, okay, we'll just do it. Like, I'll go to your house and we'll record it. And we did. And then the file got lost.
No.
And so, yeah, it was a big bummer, and it was, like, 2 hours long. Like, the movies are feature-length movies, so it's kind of a hard sell to get somebody over to my house to watch 2 hours of Save a Bell. So, and it's a bit of a scheduling thing. I mean, I'm out of town so much that trying to schedule it is also a bit harder. So, yeah, I mean, maybe in the future the two movies will come, but not for the foreseeable future just because I'm a little too busy right now.
So I'd look forward to it if you do, and I mean maybe even an idea throughout there. Maybe cross it with Doug Benson and do a Go Bayside and Doug Loves Movies.
That would be amazing. Doug Benson doesn't really know I exist, so I don't know if that would ever really happen. But it would be amazing if I could make it happen.
Just get Chris to put both of you guys on at midnight on the same night, and then somehow work it that way.
Oh no, I've met Doug Benson several times. That doesn't mean he's going to remember me. You know that Doug Benson is never sober, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's why he almost never comes to
literally
Utah.
Literally never sober, so I don't fault him for not remembering me.
That's a very good point. He may not remember completely all of the entire movie with those.
Exactly.
So, well, April, it's been great to talk to you. I look forward to the shows this Sunday. I'm absolutely thrilled that you're coming through to Salt Lake. Now, is it one show or two shows that you're doing?
No, it's just the one. It's just one. But, yeah, I'm psyched too, and I'm really hoping there's a good turnout because the club has been very nice to me and, like, very psyched and has bought a lot of advertising and stuff. So I'm really, when I was on the phone with them, I'm like, y'all, I'm okay. There might be, like, 15 people here. Like, please stay mad at me if that's the case. So, yeah, well, it'll be fun, though. All the shows so far have been really, really great. So it'll be a lot of fun.
So we'll spread the word and make sure everybody hears about it. So we've loved you on
please
At Midnight,
do,
loved you on
do
Chelsea lately. So, you know, I know everybody that gets out to the show will have a great time. So
hopefully that is true.
Well, have a safe rest of your drive. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll see you, April.
Bye.